It's really essential to wear masks. And for this to work, we have to have like 90% of people wearing a mask in public in the hotspot areas.
Trying to convince people to wear a mask. It's Tuesday, July 14th. This is VOA Asia. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. You'll find us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube, all at VOA Asia. Also ahead, creative work gets stores open again. A major city makes social reforms. Reality versus political polls. It's all on today's VOA Asia. With more than 3 million cases and over 137,000 deaths, COVID-19 is taking a heavy toll on the United States as the number of new infections continues to rise. As VOA's Kane Faribault reports, encouraging people to wear masks is becoming a widespread effort throughout the country that could help control the spread of the virus.
At Elkhart Lake, Wisconsin, fans of IndyCar racing gathered by the thousands for the first publicly accessible event since the coronavirus pandemic closed racetracks across the country. Masks were encouraged, but not mandatory.
Yeah, it's one of the best tracks in the world. So they're taking the precautions. Everyone else is taking precautions. I had no concerns about coming out.
All the staff and drivers and everybody are wearing masks, but I don't think the fans are quite as good about that.
In Florida, one of the states experiencing a surge in new COVID-19 cases, the popular Disney World Resort opened its gates to visitors for the first time in months, with a mandatory mask-wearing policy for most areas of the theme parks.
To the data we have right now, there's no downside to wearing a mask.
U.S. Assistant Secretary for Health Admiral Brett Giroir emphasized masks could prevent further spread of the virus, especially in areas where COVID-19 is on the rise.
It's really essential to wear masks, and for this to work, we have to have like 90% of people wearing a mask in public in the hotspot areas. If we don't have that, we will not get control of the virus.
After weeks of resisting, President Donald Trump wore a mask publicly for the first time while visiting service members and healthcare workers at Walter Reed Army Medical Center in suburban Washington, D.C.
I think when you're in a hospital, especially in that particular setting where you're talking to a lot of soldiers and people that in some cases just got off the operating tables, I think it's a great thing to wear a mask. I've never been against masks, but I do believe they have a time and a place.
In an online question and answer session from 10 Downing Street in London, British Prime Minister Boris Johnson hinted at tougher restrictions throughout Britain as new legislation in Scotland made masks mandatory in shops.
But face coverings, yes, we increasingly think that we've got to be very insistent on, you know, in places, in confined places where you're meeting people that you don't normally come into contact with, transport, shops, wear a face covering.
Medical experts say wearing a mask isn't the only important measure that could stop the spread of infection.
You really got to stop the bars. You've got to decrease restaurant capacity. You've got to physically distance. We have to have people wearing a mask in public. It's absolutely essential. And you've got to use good hand hygiene.
Measures Admiral Giroir and other health officials across the United States hope will curb infections in the country that set records for the most new COVID-19 cases in a single day, several times over the last week. Kane Faribault, VOA News.
These are among some of the top Asia headlines that you'll find right now when you make a visit to voanews.com. New COVID cases complicate U.S. military missions in Japan and South Korea. How discovery of fresh water bolsters China claims in disputed sea. China announces sanctions against U.S. lawmakers over Uyghur issue. Confessed gunman in New Zealand mosque shootings to represent himself in sentencing hearing. Top White House advisor expects tough action on TikTok and WeChat. You'll find expanded coverage of all these stories and much more on our social media. That's Facebook at VOA Asia, also Instagram, YouTube, and Twitter, and you can stop by the voanews.com website. You're listening to VOA Asia. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. When the coronavirus outbreak began, many retail stores were forced to shut down to help contain the virus. Some have since filed for bankruptcy. Others are starting to reopen and trying to offer a good shopping experience even during the pandemic. VOA correspondent Mariama Diallo reports.
It's a crucial crucial time for retailers who are trying to recover from the worst sales slump on record due to the coronavirus. Retailers are trying to lure customers back and working to ensure they enjoy the experience of shopping, even with restrictions to contain the spread of the virus. Melissa Gonzalez is a retail consultant.
You can buy something, and buying is very transactional, but shopping is an emotional experience. So how do you still give people that satisfaction?
Many retailers are making employees wear masks, cleaning public areas, adding plexiglass shields by cashiers, limiting the number of customers in stores, and putting up signs reminding shoppers to keep 6 feet apart. Kathy Hilt is a vice president at Macy's Department Store in New York City.
What hasn't changed are the people behind the masks. You can feel and see that smile behind the mask, and you can feel that warmth. And just learning about social distancing and seeing the plexi at the registers is going to feel a little different, but that experience is going to feel exactly the same.
Instead of letting customers sample makeup, Macy's employees at the cosmetic counter are showing drawings of what the makeup looks like. Ulta Beauty has a phone app that lets customers virtually try on lipstick and other beauty products. Eileen Zeismer is with Ulta.
Our associates are taking daily wellness checks before the start of every shift. They're required to wear facial coverings throughout the store at all times. And, of course, they're practicing social distancing throughout the store as well.
Apparel brand Brooks Brothers is the latest to file for Chapter 11, a form of bankruptcy protection this week, joining other big-name brands of American retailers, including Neiman Marcus, J. Crew, and JCPenney. Mariama Diallo, VOA News, Washington.
Happening now in Asia, the funeral service for Seoul Mayor Park Woon-soon, who apparently took his own life after being accused of sexual harassment, was held Monday despite a petition against the city-run ceremony signed by a half million people. Stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VOA Asia. Now on VOA Asia, the death of George Floyd, while in police custody earlier this year, has led to widespread protests over racial justice and also calls to defund police departments and divert that money to social programs to help reduce crime. In New York City, the mayor has already responded to these calls, as VOA's Anshuman Apte reports.
Protesters in New York are calling for the so-called defunding of the New York City's police department. They are part of the nationwide Black Lives Matter movement, calling for an end to what they say is the racial profiling of African Americans and the alleged use of excessive force at the hands of police.
Over the last 50 years, we've seen reductions in funding from education. We've seen reduction in funding from housing. We've seen reductions in funding from healthcare. We've seen reductions in funding for all of the things that actually keep us safe and keep us out of poverty. And we've seen an increase in funding of the carceral state and the system of policing that criminalizes black and brown lives and keeps us harmed and keeps us in danger.
The death of George Floyd in Minneapolis became the latest flashpoint for those who say the police, as they are currently structured, are part of the problem.
It has been a racially oppressive system from the very get-go. So I think in order for there to be change, that has to be broken all the way down and recreated and restructured from the ground up.
In response, New York City has passed a number of reforms, including measures to ban chokeholds and allowing people to film police activities. The number of new recruits joining the force will also be reduced. Mayor Bill de Blasio has decided to cut New York Police Department's funding by about $1 billion and redirect some of the money to community welfare. Police unions warn that reducing NYPD funds will create law and order challenges. But the city's council members say the reforms are a step forward to rectify the issues of police violence and racism that have created mistrust in the communities they serve. Anshuman Apte, VOA News, New York.
This news from VOA Asia. An Indonesian politician is under fire for ordering female civil servants to wear face veils once a week in what he claimed was a protective measure against the coronavirus. You'll find all the big stories through the day on VOA Asia Twitter and Facebook. This is VOA Asia.
Now on VOA Asia, public opinion polls reflect sentiment at a specific point in time. Even with the U.S. presidential election still 4 months away, polls can tell us a lot about the direction of a campaign and what it needs to do to win more votes. VOA's Steve Reddish helps explain what to look for in presidential poll numbers.
Political polls from reputable U.S. surveying outlets are showing former Vice President Joe Biden with a comfortable lead over President Donald Trump, both in national surveys and in critical battleground states.
It's pretty clear that the president is an underdog right now. He's a pretty severe underdog.
Last September, Biden was among more than 20 Democrats seeking his party's presidential nomination. Even then, in hypothetical matchups, Biden had a 9.5 percentage point lead on Trump in the Real Clear Politics poll average. The race tightened at the end of February after Trump's acquittal on impeachment charges, but before the impact of the coronavirus pandemic. Since then, Biden has rebounded to a nearly 9-point lead.
So what polls tell you is they tell you a baseline. They kind of give you a sense of how many people there are out there who are gettable for either candidate. And of course, as you get closer and closer to the election, the polls become more and more predictive.
Jacob Rubashkin is a reporter and analyst for Inside Elections. He says polls are just snapshots of public opinion at a point in time, and events could occur before the November 3rd election that could change people's vote. The margin in the presidential race often percolates down to other elections, such as determining which party controls the U.S. Senate.
So a massive Biden lead nationally translates into a narrow Biden lead in some of these Republican states. And as a Democrat running for Senate, if you tell yourself, well, all I need is to get the same voters that are voting for Joe Biden, that becomes a much more straightforward proposition.
But polling is a scientific instrument that Rubashkin says is only useful if you know how it was conducted.
Live caller polling is considered the gold standard of surveying, and that's when a real person dials the number and picks up and reads a script and asks for answers. And most polls don't do that because it's expensive and it's time consuming. And a lot of polls are either online or they're robotic, called IVR, interactive voice response. They are a lesser standard in the polling community than our live caller surveys.
Also, political scientists check for how many people were surveyed. Fewer people mean a higher margin of error. In addition, there should be a balance of gender, race, geography, income, and education level.
And as it turns out, education in the 2016 election was one of the most significant predictors of who you voted for. The less educated people voted more for Donald Trump. The more highly educated you were, the more likely you were to vote for Hillary Clinton.
Supporters of Trump point to 2016 when questions are raised that the president is lagging in the polls right now. And remember, in America's unique presidential electoral process, the president is elected based off the results of each state. Each state gets a certain number of electors in what is known as the Electoral College. And the person who receives 270 electoral votes wins the presidency. Steve Reddish, VOA News, Washington.
VOA Asia is the daily program you've been listening to. We thank you so much for joining us. You can continue by following us on Facebook at VOA Asia. We're also on Twitter, Instagram, and see us at YouTube. You can also stop by the voanews.com website and download our full-length 25-minute program. It comes to you courtesy of our managing editor, Diane Gao. And we also send our thanks out to our VOA Asia team, Ira Melman, Doug Bernard, Keith Lane, and Amy Popeboon. I'm Jim Stevenson. We're in Washington. We hope you have a great day ahead. Be safe. Be well.